Tsai.
Spend the day with Tsai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, Tsai Ram's greetings, a warm welcome to Radio Tsai Global Harmony. This is Thursday Live coming to you straight from Prashant Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. I am Raghu from Team Radio Tsai, and this is a segment, Service Love in Action, bringing you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Well, dear listeners, till now you heard this segment, Morning Glory, hosted by Sister Karuna. And towards the end, you heard the first part of the Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories series, in which we brought to you the first part of the interview with Brother Rishabh, who is an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. So to begin this segment with, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:07, and today is 6th of February. And the weather here at Prashant Nilayam is picture perfect condition. The maximum temperature is about 30 degrees Celsius, and the minimum temperature is about 20 degrees Celsius. Well, whatever it is, dear listeners, the weather, temperature, climate, people, everything and anything here at Prashant Nilayam is filled with divine vibrations, as Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the Kali Yuga avatar, chose to take birth here at Puttaparthi. And it is full of divine vibrations, and Radio Sai makes this humble attempt to bring these sacred vibes to your homes, to the various Radio Tsai programs. Today, in this segment of Service Love in Action, I'll be playing for you the conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar. In fact, this conversation is a continuation from last week's conversation. And in this conversation, Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar speaks about his involvement in different service activities when he was in the United States. But before we get into the conversation, I want to narrate a beautiful incident which happened way back in the year 1993. That year, Swami sent few boys from his university here at Prashant Nilayam for Gram Seva in few of the villages nearby Puttaparthi. So few boys went for Gram Seva, did Gram Seva for the whole day. They distributed few clothes and food materials to the villagers, and they came back in the evening. So they were in Cyclone Hall and having Swami's darshan. Swami came to these boys, and Swami lovingly inquired about the day's program. Swami asked them, how was the Gram Seva? Then boys told Swami, Gram Seva was very nice today. We had a wonderful experience. Then it seems Swami suddenly asked, did you meet Radhamma? Well, the boys didn't know who Radhamma was, so they just kept quiet. Then Swami said, that Radhamma, that old lady in the village Janakampalli. Well, even then the boys didn't get the clue who Radhamma was. Then Swami said the exact location of Radhamma's house. Swami said, in the village of Janakampalli, you went to right side, then left, and Swami told the exact direction of the hut. Still the boys didn't make out who Radhamma was. Then Swami himself said, that old lady who had given you ragi mudda to eat. Well, then boys remembered, yes, there was one old lady who had given them ragi mudda that day. Then boys said, yes Swami, we went to a house and one lady lovingly gave us ragi mudda to eat. Then it seems Swami said, see, Radhamma is the best midwife in this entire world. Well, dear listeners, midwife is a lady who attends ladies who are in pregnancy and who helps other ladies who are in pregnancy and at the time of delivery in villages. So it seems Swami said that Radhamma is the best midwife in the entire world. Then Swami went on to ask the boys, do you know why she is the best midwife in the entire world? Well, the boys didn't know, so they just kept quiet. In fact, Swami said that there are hundreds of pediatricians in this world, thousands of gynecologists in this world, but Radhamma is better than all of them. And Swami also said there are many people who have written theses, done research in this field, but Radhamma is better than all of them. And again Swami asked these boys, do you know why Radhamma is the best? Well, the boys just kept quiet and said no. Then Swami said, see, whenever Radhamma wants to go to attend to her duty, that is, as a midwife, she wants to go and help any lady during pregnancy, before she goes, it seems she closes her eyes and she prays to me. That is, Swami said, she prays to me to take over. She prays, Swami, I am just your instrument. You have to do the duty through me. Please do it. So she prays to me and I take over. And since I am God and I am the best in this world, she becomes the best in her duty. So dear listeners, did you get the point? Whenever we do something, before we do something, we should just close our eyes and pray to Swami to take over. And since He is the best in everything, if He takes over, we will also be the best. So dear listeners, with the same prayer, I also pray today that He takes over this segment and speaks through me. So once again reminding you, this is a segment Service Love in Action, and in this segment we talk about the various service activities done by Swami's devotees and his students everywhere around the world in whatever capacity they can, wherever they are. And today I'll be playing for you the conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar. But before we get into the conversation, let's listen to a few devotional songs.
Somebody loves you more than you know. Thank you. every way. You guide us back to you.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Science Thursday Live.
Radio Science Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Salam, dear listeners. Welcome back once again to this week's Thursday Live. This live broadcast, as you may be aware, is coming to you straight from Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of highest bees, the spiritual capital of the universe. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting the segment Service Love in Action, in which we talk about the various service activities done by Swami's devotees and his students everywhere around the world in whatever capacity they can. Well, dear listeners, talking about service, I am reminded of a beautiful incident. Sadhu Sundar Singh was a great Christian missionary of India who spread the word of God among the people of Tibet in the Himalayan mountain ranges. One afternoon, as he was traveling on the foot with a companion along a hilly path in Tibet, they were caught in a severe snowstorm. During a brief lull, looking down from the edge of a steep slope, they saw the body of a traveler lying in the snow at the foot of the cliff, over 30 feet below the path. The stranger had obviously fallen from the path and needed urgent attention and assistance. As the sadhu tried to climb down to rescue the man, his companion tried his best to dissuade him. He warned the sadhu that if they lost time in the effort to save the stranger, all three of them would be frozen to death in the snowstorm before reaching the shelter. The sadhu was determined to help the helpless man and sought the cooperation of his companion, but his companion refused to help and walked away to save his own life. Now, the sadhu climbed down the slope and reached the injured man. The injured man was badly hurt and had broken his leg in the fall. The sadhu carried the stranger on his shoulders, carefully covering him with his blanket, and climbed up the steep and slippery path with a heavy load. After hours of tedious travel, with the, well, after hours of tedious travel with the heavy load in the severe snowstorm, they approached the nearest village when the darkness was near. The sadhu was drenched in sweat. Suddenly, he stumbled over a human body, half buried in the ice-covered road. It was the frozen dead body of the companion who deserted the sadhu and proceeded alone to save his own life. He was overcome by cold and was frozen to a tragic death. The sadhu carried the stranger to the safety and warmth of his shelter in the village and provided him with all necessary assistance. He remembered that by saving the stranger, by sacrificing his comforts, he had actually saved himself. The exertion of carrying the heavy load, the perspiration and the intimate contact of their living bodies had heated them up and saved their lives. And then he remembered the words of Jesus. And I quote, "For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it," unquote. So you see, dear listeners, in this story, if the sadhu had agreed to his companion's wish, and if they both had left, leaving the injured person there, then both of them would have been dead. But the sadhu rescued the injured person and he was saved, but his companion was dead. So this is what actually Swami always says: when we do seva, when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves. In fact, the basic requisite to seva is selflessness and the feeling of oneness. In fact, Swami has said that when we serve others, we should serve with love. So let's now listen to Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram in her own words, describing one incident which she has seen herself during her life when Swami used to conduct Narayan Seva here at Prashanthi Nilayam.
Swami used to do poor feeding or Narayan Seva, as he called it, even then, just as he does now. But the good thing about those days, or, you know, the thing that we all saw, was that Swami would start the Narayan Seva during every festival at 9 or 9.30 in the morning, and all the surrounding villages would come to Puttaparthi, and we know what Puttaparthi was like. They would all come, and my family, the ladies in our family, would all cook large quantities of rice and sambar and, you know, different things that they could serve these poor people who came. And Swami would start at 9.30 in the morning in the hot sun in Puttaparthi. Those of you who have been there know how hot it can be around 9.30, 10 in the morning, which is why Swami actually gives really early darshan so people can get back to their rooms. Bare feet, there would be rows and rows and rows of people sitting, and he would start serving, and he would serve every single person himself personally. And it would end around 1.30 or 2. Swami would not have had lunch himself, and he would be serving. And the thing that I remember, when I think back at that time, is whenever I think of poor feeding, all I see is the image of Swami bending and straightening 1,000 times, because they would be sitting on the floor and he would bend to serve, straighten. We were all young girls, you know, who would stand at the periphery of this whole process. We were not allowed inside the kitchen to cook. And we would just stand around and we would be looking alertly at Swami. And every time he would gesture for something to be brought, you know, 8 or 10 of us youngsters would jump forward to be the ones to bring whatever it was that Swami was asking for. And of course, I was one of the younger ones, so it was survival of the fittest. So the stronger, bigger, taller cousin or somebody usually got to the front and was able to do whatever he asked them to do. And on one such occasion, I remember, Swami was serving and he had come to a mother with a young child. It was just maybe a year old. And Swami served her food, and then he turned around and called us who were standing in front. So we all ran, because we want to serve Swami in his presence, isn't it? Forgetting that he's here when we are serving, whether it's UK or US or whatever. But when Swami's physical form, you'll see 20 of us will run, because we want to prove to him that we actually do seva. Forgetting that he's here to watch what we are doing. So 20 of us even then all ran, and Swami said, there is a small child here, go and get milk from the kitchen, because the child cannot eat all that rice and sambar and all that. So we all, 15 of us, ran to the kitchen. And in those days, the kitchen was, if those of you who have been to Prashanthi Nilayam again, there is a little road that goes up the hill towards the old general hospital. And the kitchens were over there. And they cooked for all the children who used to learn Vedas in the Veda Pathshala there. So the food was all, you know, cooked over there. And the milk would be constantly boiling, because everybody would be constantly drinking coffee in that hot weather. And so everybody ran, and one of them, you know, got this boiling milk that was being boiled there, hot milk, and ran, you know, back. And by that time, Swami had gone down the row serving others, and he had gone quite far. And this girl, my cousin, was just about to hand the glass of milk to the mother, and even to this day, I can hear his voice loudly saying, "Undu," meaning in Telugu, "stop, wait." And he quickly walked back to her and took the milk from her and said, "Don't give this milk to the mother." And he said, "Is this the way you give milk to a young child? The baby is only 1 year old. If the baby puts this milk in her mouth, it will burn her tongue. And the mother is carrying the baby, so if you give her the hot milk, she'll see that the cup is hot because it's a steel glass, and she'll spill it on the baby. It's too hot." So go and get another cup. So everybody jogged back, got another cup. And I can never forget the picture of Swami so sweetly standing there in the hot sun with handing the ladle over to someone, and with the two cups, cooling the milk by pouring it from one cup to the other, one cup to the other, touching to find out if the temperature was just right, switching, and then finally the temperature is right, he gives it to the child. He says, "Tago Bangaro, drink now." And then of course we are all standing there looking quite crestfallen that we hadn't done a good job of this whole thing. And he turns around, and everything that Swami does, there is always a lesson. Sometimes it's not obvious, you have to think about it a little. But he turned to us and said, "When you do seva, it is not just to impress me. You have to think about the person who is receiving the seva, and you have to think of yourself. Are you doing it in the correct way? Are you doing it in the way that benefits that person? And after you complete that seva, is it benefiting you spiritually? Is there an ego involved? Or are you doing it just to please someone else? Or are you doing it with love in your heart?"
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Salam, dear listeners, once again greetings. So you heard to Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram narrating a beautiful incident which she had seen herself. So you see, when we are doing service, as Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram said from that incident, we should do it with love. We should see the requirements of the beneficiaries first and accordingly act. We should also see how the service has benefited us also. As Swami always says, when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves. Has the act in any way helped us in reducing our ego? Has it made us more humble? In fact, when I was listening to Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, I remembered one more incident which she had said in one occasion. It seems it was the year 1970 and she had got an interview with Swami. It was a group interview, so there were many other devotees along with her. Swami was talking to all of them, and whenever Swami was pausing in between, there was a lady and she was telling Swami, "Swami, please come to our town." And Swami used to ignore her. And Swami continued to speak to others. And again it seems Swami stopped. And this lady once more told, "Swami, please come to our town." And Swami again ignored her. And Swami started talking to others. And whenever Swami used to pause, it seems this lady always used to tell Swami, "Swami, please come to our town." At one point, Swami looked at her and it seems Swami told, "Yes, I have come to your town. In fact, I have come to your house." Then the lady told Swami, "Swami, no Swami, you didn't come to my house physically. Please come to my house." Then Swami started talking to the lady and Swami asked, "How is the seva going on?" The lady was the sevadal coordinator of service coordinator of their place. So the lady with pride told, "Swami, seva is going on very well in our place. We are keeping handful of rice every day apart in our house, and we collect this rice every day and then we feed some poor people." Then Swami asked her, "Are you keeping 2 rupees rice or 5 rupees rice?" Then the lady said, "Swami, good rice, Swami. We are keeping good rice for Narayan Seva." Then Swami became a little serious and got up from his chair, and it seems Swami went inside and brought a red cloth. And then Swami showed the red cloth to the lady, and it seems Swami said, "See, 2 years back, I had come to your house as a beggar, and you gave me this rice. This is 2 rupees rice. You are partaking 5 rupees rice, which is good rice, and you are keeping aside 2 rupees rice for Narayan Seva." Then Swami said, "This is not right. When we serve others, we should serve with love, seeing Swami in them. When you serve others, you should think that you are serving Swami himself. So if you are feeding Swami, will you do this? Will you take 5 rupees rice yourself, and will you feed Swami 2 rupees rice? No. So in the same way, when we serve others, we should think we are serving Swami himself and serve." In fact, dear listeners, this is the uniqueness of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. What makes it unique, what makes Sai organization different from other service activities is that all the members of Sai organization serve others with love. So in this segment, Service Love in Action, we try to capture the different service activities that Bhagwan's devotees and students are involved in, wherever they are, in whatever capacity they can. So if you are tuning to this segment every week, you may be aware that last week I had played for you a conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar. And in that conversation, he spoke to us about his involvement in different service activities when he was in US. Mr. Bhatnagar, just for the benefit of the listeners, he is currently serving in the Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Division of the Sri Satya Sai Media of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust here at Prashant Nilayam, and his profession had taken him to different parts of the world, and wherever he went, he was involved in service activities. In fact, a few Thursdays back, I had brought you a conversation with him in which he spoke to us about his involvement in service activities when he was in Afghanistan. Then in another conversation, he spoke to us about his involvement in Sai movement in Korea. And last week, he spoke to us about his involvement in Sai activities in USA. And today, I'll be playing for you the continuation of the conversation which you heard last week. So let's listen to Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar.
One time I was coming from Fort Knox to Louisville to see my friend, and my family was there too. It was declared black road condition.
Mm-hmm.
There are four color codes. One is green, that means everything is normal. Second is amber, drive when you there's a need. Don't drive if there's no need. And it's called amber road condition. Third is red, don't drive unless it's emergency situation. And fourth is black, absolutely road is impassable, don't drive at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it was declared black road condition. And I was there on a business and I had to go back to Louisville where my family was there to pick them up. They already announced the entire road has become icy and looks like it is a water, but it is ice, layer of ice on the road, and which will make your vehicle slippery and you may have accident. In spite of this repeated warning on radio and TV, I have no option but to drive. So I prayed to Swami and start driving. And my speed was below 20.
Okay.
Below 20. Though on that highway, the speed was 60. But I was driving. But you have to apply brake somewhere because you feel something is. So I put little brake. My car turned around. That means I was going to east. It turned west.
Mm.
And when I got off the car, I found my car on the edge of ravine.
Okay.
Deep ravine, hundreds feet deep. Had it gone half feet, 6 inches further, I would have dropped down into that big ravine and my car would have caught fire. I would have been cooked alive.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. And I said, wow, now how can I turn my car? It's so dangerous. Because I was on the edge of the road, edge of the ravine. So, here is Swami's grace. The moment I was scared, from top to bottom, a car stopped and a couple came out of the car, looked like by age in the 60s, and that guy, he smiled at me, and by single hand, he turned my car around.
Oh, is it?
Yes, that is amazing.
Just by single hand?
Single hand, you know. And he said, now you can go, nothing will happen. Actually, nothing happened until I reached my friend's home in Louisville.
First of all, it was declared black, and how that car came, that itself is a miracle.
That guy was nothing, it was Swami who came with Parvati. Shiva Parvati came, I call it, you know. There's no way such a big car can be turned around by single hand. How can you do, especially when the car is parked on the edge of the ravine, only 6 inch away. And I was so thankful, and I told when I reached there, nothing happened, because he told me nothing will happen. Nothing happened actually. I reached there. And second thing, similarly thing happened. I was with my family driving on that mountain road in Arizona. And all of a sudden, the hail storm came. See, and the big balls of ice started falling on the ground. And within 5 minutes, entire road was filled with ice balls. We call it hail storm. The car starting sliding and hitting each other. Road becomes slippery. And hundreds of accidents took place within 15 minutes. Hundreds of accidents.
Oh.
My car also got off the... Because when you put a brake...
It skids.
It skids.
Yeah.
So I put a brake and my car went off the road starting... Because it was slope. And it started going... I said, now I'm going to die. We don't know. It was a mountain area. It was night time, evening time, and the clouds have come. It become totally dark. There was no light. And here is, you are going down the hill, and you don't know where you will meet. You may hit, you may catch fire, your hood will be broken, your engine will be broken. The side mirror got stuck with a guidepost. You know, the guidepost which has some like a speed limit, 20 mile, like this. There was some, I don't know what was the guidepost was there. And it got stuck and my car stopped.
Okay.
And nothing happened. Nothing, no damage to car, only the side mirror got entangled. And this entanglement prevented my car for further slide. So, After we keep sitting in the car because we were scared to death. The road is extremely slippery. How we can go home? 1 o'clock, it has become next day actually after 12 o'clock midnight. The truck loaded with coal or sand powder, coal powder mixed with sand came and throwing on the road. And after that, we turned around and started driving our car, slowly reached home.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was very scary, which Swami saved our life. And in this contest, I want to tell you another thing. In Las Vegas, my brother was a professor. He's still professor, University of Nevada in Las Vegas. He called us to come to visit him. So we were driving from Arizona to Las Vegas. Now, from Arizona to Las Vegas, there's only one highway. It's a desert road. And there's no water. And this highway is notorious for robbery, for plundering, for looting. And we were driving, I think, 60 or 70. All of a sudden, our radiator got busted. Steam ejected, spewed in the sky high. My car stopped and there was red alarm came on my meter. So that means car cannot be driven. So I came out, all my family, my wife and my daughter and son too. Immediately one van behind stopped and he told, "Don't stop in the middle of the car, you will have accident." He came out, he held my car, pushed that car, parked it aside. He asked me where I was going. I told, "We are going to Las Vegas to see my brother." He said, "Don't worry, come into my van, I will take you there." So we locked our car, went with him, and he told us that he was from Greek. And he dropped us in Las Vegas at gas station and he told me, "Now you can call your family, they will come to pick you up." So he went away. So I called my family. My brother came and we went with him. We went home. And after 3 days of vacation, when I was coming back and driving on the same highway, I saw the same person, same van, and he looked at us and waved his hand. "Everything is okay, you know." And I said, "Yes." And we tried to follow him, but he disappeared.
Oh.
He disappeared. We cannot find. I thought it was Swami who came in that forum. Otherwise, the accident that I had on the highway would have become catastrophic.
Mm.
Because leaving car there, also he helped not only park our car on the roadside, but also giving a ride up to our destination. Then he came again. How he came? Where did he go? See, second, on my return journey after 3 days, how he emerged again on the same highway, that is still lurking into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was Swami who took different form and came to bless us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Asking me, "How are you?" He was actually blessing us, you know. "Go safely home, nothing will happen." So that is one thing I want to tell you. Another thing I want to tell you about USA. One time I was coming to Puttaparthi to see Swami for his darshan. And I have two sets of tickets. One for domestic flight from Washington Dulles Airport to Los Angeles. From Los Angeles to Bangalore there was another set of ticket. When I reached Dulles Airport, Washington DC, Dulles Airport, it was raining, mixed with snow. And all flights were delayed.
Okay.
My connecting, what is called a connecting period between my domestic flight and with the international flight was 1 hour 40 minutes. Like that. And our flight was delayed so much that people at the counter, my airline counter, I think it was United Airlines, told me it is futile for you to go to Los Angeles to connect, to get international flight. It's better to stay here. I said, sir, if I cancel this flight, then international flight will also be cancelled. And there's another connecting flight too from Los Angeles somewhere in the between. So I will take risk. He says, okay, take your risk. Now don't blame us. We are already warned you. I said, okay. Now actually the plane came, and I was also very pessimistic because it was too much late. And by the time I boarded the plane and reached Los Angeles, it was only 2 minutes left to catch international flight. 2 minutes.
Mm.
And you have to go from one terminal to another terminal by catching a train within that airport. Or you take to go by bus also to airport bus. So this was the only two ways. So the moment I get out, the bus was already there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that bus runs after each 20 minutes.
Mm.
That was very miraculous thing for me, because the bus is right there. I just went there, leaped into that bus, and he took me there. By the time I reached that plane was waiting for me. I was late by 5 minutes. And I said, Swami, thank you very much. And Swami gave darshan, and he smiled at me. He said, actually, he said, look, Swami has told before to other devotees, when you come to me, I will take care of you.
Yes, yes.
And he really meant with me also too. And one thing I want to tell you, this incident, that devotion without discipline is dangerous.
Mm.
Devotion without discipline is dangerous. One time I was on official business in Virginia Beach. This is a state next to Maryland. Maryland and Virginia both border Washington DC. South side Virginia, north side is Maryland. So I had to go on official business of Virginia Beach. Virginia Beach is the name of the city, town. So I was coming. Now, here is a story I want to tell you. There was Akhand Bhajan. Hmm. You know, in November we have Akhand Bhajan every year.
Full 24 hours Bhajan.
24 hours. But it was not 24, it was 12 hour or 16 hour Bhajan in our Bethesda Sai Center. They had arranged this Akhand Bhajan at Mangal Mandir. Mangal Mandir, because it was centrally located, people from any direction can reach. It's a well-known place. These people, Bethesda Sai Center people, asked me if I had a wooden partition, we call curtain, very beautiful carved four, if I can loan them out for partition. I said, okay, take. They came to my home with van and loaded. Then also they requested if I can spare 5-6 white sheets. Since I had all these things, because I used to conduct bhajan at my home too, so I also gave the white sheets. Okay, now I will tell you the significance of all these two things.
Mm.
So I was Virginia Beach, and coming to Mangal Mandir, Virginia Beach is almost 300 miles away from this place. And after completing my work, I was driving very fast so that I can attend the last part of Akhand Bhajan. Because Bhajan was going to close at 6 p.m.
Mm.
And I was driving, and I didn't know, when I was in the Beltway of Washington, D.C., I did not check the speed until I saw the red light behind me from the rear glass, rear mirror. And one thing I want to tell you, this incident, that devotion without discipline is dangerous.
Mm.
Devotion without discipline is dangerous. One time I was on official business in Virginia Beach. This is a state next to Maryland. Maryland and Virginia both border Washington, D.C. South side Virginia, north side is Maryland. So I had to go on official business of Virginia Beach. Virginia Beach is the name of the city, town. So I was coming. Now, here is a story I want to tell you. There was Akhand Bhajan. Hmm. You know, in November we have Akhand Bhajan every year.
Full 24.
That's the reason I got a ticket, traffic ticket. Mm-hmm. And Swami, because of his compassion, it was reduced to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lesson. Devotion without discipline is dangerous.
Mm, correct.
And I want to tell you one more thing before I stop this one. And this is a really... Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Now, regarding that curtain and the sheets and wooden partition that have borrowed, after 4 or 5 days, they returned. When I opened my white sheet, they were torn several places because they had pasted against wall or something. When they removed, paint was so strong and those sheets torn apart. So I told my son, look, they have damaged our sheets. Now we have to buy new one. And the next day, it was Sunday, my son-in-law and daughter came to visit us. I told him the same thing. Then he told me, that's why Swami told him, tell your father-in-law that I have compensated for his damaged sheet.
Okay.
Swami, he has a dream that tell your father-in-law that he had already compensated for his torn sheet.
Mm.
My son-in-law couldn't make out the significance of the dream. He said, what is this? When he told me, I said, yes, because the sheets that were returned were really torn and I was grumbling and complaining. And now he said, don't worry, now Swami already compensated you. You may not know, but he has done it.
So that 50% reduction in that speed limit bill was a compensation, right, sir?
Maybe. It could be because the ticket was $130 and 50% was $65. And moreover, I had also some traffic points too.
Mm.
And because of 50%, I did not get single traffic point. So that was zero balance in traffic point, but only I have to pay $65. So really, that was a great compensation for me.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
One time, my daughter married with a boy, which was actually friend of my son. People used to tell, you know, it is very difficult to find boy, good boy for your daughter and good daughter-in-law for your son. But Swami really take care of me. I did not do anything, really. Neither for my son, nor for my daughter. My son marriage was performed in Puttaparthi.
Oh.
And, but my daughter was performed in Washington, D.C., Shiva Vishnu Temple. And this boy, after marriage, he was in bank officer and after marriage, he was not a devotee of Swami. At the time of engagement, I gave a scarf, which was Washington, D.C., because they used to come every year to participate or to attend activities in Puttaparthi as well as to have Swami Darshan too.
Okay.
So we used to have our own scarf.
Yes.
So I gave the scarf at the time of engagement. I said, now Swami is going to change your life and become science center activity. He and his entire family, who were Gujarati, were not devotees of Swami. That scarf really first of all changed his life. Then after a year or so, he was transferred to Las Vegas. He was sent to Las Vegas. Actually not transferred, he got another better position. So when he went to Las Vegas, they were staying in a rented apartment, small one, and later on they decided to purchase a house, their own house. So they purchased, by Swami grace, they found very good house and they got discount $5,000. The reason I am trying to tell you, when I went there to help them to locate a better house, because my brother there is a real estate agent. And we were also contacted science center person there in Las Vegas. There's a science center too. I was told by the lady in whose house the science center activities were conducted that she would either close this center or it has to go somewhere else, because she was going to sell her house and move out of Nevada state. Now, it is a quandary. It's really a quandary. Science center to be closed because other people don't want to have it done at your house. So, my son-in-law, because I was there, I told my son-in-law name is Madhu. I said, Madhu, this is a great opportunity. Grab it. Pray to Swami and tell, if you got a house, within 1 month, you will have activity in your house. And he told her, if he found a suitable house, he would have it moved to his house. So she was happy, and Swami Grace, without real estate agent, he was walking with my daughter, and there was housing work being constructed. So he talked directly to those builders, and he got a very good discount, very good house, brand new, and the science center moved from her house to his house. Now, I want to tell you one thing. At that time, the attendance at the science center used to be 5-6 people. Not very much. Now, my son-in-law and my daughter, they started a new activity. It's called Newcomers Tea.
Newcomers?
Tea on Tuesday.
Okay.
On Sunday, they used to have bhajan. And before bhajan, they used to have other activity like a study circle or bhajan practice. Saturday they started seva activity once a month. Now, because my son and daughter, they are very much what is called friendly people. You know, everybody doesn't have that skill, but both of them are very good. So, numbers start increasing. When I went again next year, the number was 50. Whole house was filled, and the seva activity, which used to be once a month, became weekly activity.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, and the police officer, chief of police of Las Vegas, was a office bearer in the science center. You maybe think the Indians were only one or two. All were Americans, black, white, Mexican.
Okay.
This is the beauty of all this. And they used to sing bhajans and everything like this. Now, thing which I want to bring it out, another thing, one time, he was working with a big corporation, Merck Company. Merck is a worldwide famous company, manufacturing and selling medicine or drugs, you can call it. So, he was working. And this company started, all of a sudden, their revenue dropped, and they said, we are going to curtail our staff. He was afraid that his name might be on the hit list. That means his job will be abolished. So my daughter had come to us in Maryland, Laurel, where I was staying, and he was by himself. And when he got this news, so he was broken-hearted. She is newly married, no child, and now he will lose house. And that means all sign activity will be stopped. When our house is sold, all activity will be stopped.
Yes.
Plus, what he is going to tell us, that he became again a jobless person. So, he was very much dejected, and sitting in his sofa, night time, near about 9 o'clock, he was in deep depression, you can call it. And his thoughts of committing suicide also emerged in his mind. All of a sudden, he heard the sound of sparks. You know, in Diwali, we call Pujadi, the sparks come out. So he heard the spark sound. When he looked through this side, he found that some light is there. He went and he saw Swami sitting in the chair.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
In US?
In US. And in his house, Las Vegas. And see, in his house, when they made center, the drawing room, front room, became science center. So, on daily purpose, other time, the people has to come through garage, because it is center. Front door will be closed, because it is science center. And other devotee brought big picture, Swami, hanging on the wall. So, the front door was closed, and everybody has to come from the side door, from garage, through the garage. They leave their chappal, shoes there in the garage, come barefoot. So they have a permanent chair for Swami, and with everything, he bowed before Swami. Swami told him, without asking, you are in great depression. This situation will last only 1 month and a half. You will come in February for my darshan. Swami blessed him and disappeared. Okay, exactly what Swami, I think 6th or 7th February. So they decided, let us go to Puttaparthi. There was a group of, I don't know, 13, 14 people, all white people. He and my daughter were Indian. And only Hindi speaking person was my daughter, broken Hindi. Because my son-in-law is a Gujarati, he cannot speak Hindi, he can speak Gujarati or English, and my daughter can speak English and broken Hindi. So, and when they landed in Bombay for custom and other thing, so my daughter was interpreter little bit. So they came here, and it was, I think, they came for Christmas. He was sitting in the, what is called, foreigner's accommodation office. And he was assigned the duty to report every evening how many people have enrolled, and keep also total, how many total have, because they were delegates. They had to give delegate badge also too. So, one day, Swami sent a message, how many people have enrolled? So, my son-in-law report is 800, 900, something like this. And he went to Swami immediately. Swami said, no, the number is this one. And the person brought back. And to Madhu, Swami said that this is the wrong number. And this is the number. Then he recalculated. And he found that Swami was right. He was wrong.
My God.
Yeah. And the thing which has to be mentioned is this. They stayed for 9 or 8 days. Every day, on the token line, their number was always one.
Okay.
Always
for
one.
Darshan. Swami's darshan.
Darshan.
In cyclone thal.
Yeah, by cyclone thal. You remember how many 50 lines, 30 lines, 40 lines used to be there? And it was Swami grace. He told him, you know, come for darshan. And I think they stayed for 9 days or 10 days like that. Every day, their line used to be number one.
Wow.
And they used to be sit in the front, in the line. So that this became a proverbial among devotees every day who come. Oh, these people, we sit behind this line. Because they get always number one. So their line used to be so long, other line to be small, because these people always get one, number one token. Swami did not talk to my son-in-law, but he talked to other person who was office bearer. But he talked to my daughter, Swami, talked to my daughter. He came to the women's side, and Swami asked my daughter, where is your husband? Oh, he's sitting over there. He's sitting. Then Swami said, where is your husband? Swami, he's sitting there, pointing out toward men's side. Third time, she answered the same way. Then Swami said, husband is in your pocket. Because she has... She controls her husband,
okay,
you know. So that was a laughing among all women devotees. So I just want to share this thing, you know, that Swami is watching and guiding us. And Swami grace will fall upon those who really do seva. And my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, they were very much involved in seva activity every month. And then people became so much devoted. See, the garage remain open 24 hours. Anybody can drop any food items in that garage. So they put a shelf. People used to bring canned food and packed food, everything. And they used to go there and distribute it. So really, because of seva activities, they also reward is. Same thing with my son.
Yes.
My son was very much involved in serve activities. One day, it was such a heavy snow. It was snowstorm. And almost more than 1 feet of snow fall down. Hundreds of cars got jammed, stuck in the snow. And my son, he was coming from Richmond. Richmond, which is the capital of Virginia. And he saw a lot of cars stuck. And he was a young boy. So he helped many people push out of snow by giving his hand or help. So when he came home, I said, why you are late? Oh, I have so many dozens of cars pushing out from snow. I am very happy. I said, great. When he came to Swami with a group, with SSS and Washington DC, Swami called him, not only him, but other
group,
and he materialized a 9 gem ring for him.
Oh, is it? Wow.
9 gem ring for him.
For your son?
For you, my son. Swami said, do you have anything? He said, Swami, I want to get married.
Okay.
Okay, Swami said, you will get married. Bring your father and mother. When he came, he told me this, let us go. So, see, Swami dates are not what we think about it in outwardly. His dates are always different. His one day may be equal to 1 year. So, Swami did not even look at us, you know. Then he got another interview after 3 years. And Swami asked him, well, what do you want? I said, Swami, you told me I would get married. You gave me this ring, 9 gem, Navaratna, Anguti, and I am still unmarried. Swami materialized another ring.
Oh.
You have seen a lot of devotees wear a green stone.
Yeah, green emerald.
Green. And he said, keep this ring until you get married. And marriage was performed here. And the girl's parents and boy, me, my wife, all were in cyclone 3rd or 2nd December. Because Swami told me, marriage will be in December. He told 5 years ago. He told me that marriage will be in December. So on 2nd December, we were all sitting in Sankalvanth Hall waiting for Swami blessings. So, and after marriage, that green stone, after a year, disappeared all of a sudden. So he was, now, lack of knowledge make you worry. So he thought it's a bad omen and is unauspicious. So he asked some other person in here, and he told me because this ring was given because for your wedding, and now your wedding has been performed, it's almost a year now, it has served its purpose, so Swami took it back. So don't feel bad about it.
As you said during the conversation, sir, Swami is Bhakta Rakshaka, savior of his devotees. So what you and your family used to do is Swami's work, and Swami always took care of you and your family whenever the need arose. Swami was the rescuer for all your problems, right?
Yes, actually, I want to tell you one more thing. How is the Bhakta Rakshan you mentioned about it? In 1997, there was one opportunity came, promotion opportunity, and I applied. But person who was much inferior in qualification, in experience, in credentials, got selected. So, I filed protest and it was rejected. Then I wrote a letter. I had one room in my home exclusively for Swami. We call it Mandir Shrine Room. No other thing. Swami books, Swami photos, Swami cassettes, videotapes, all in that room. So, and Swami chairs and Swami cushion, footstool, we call it. I put that letter appealing to Swami, please take care of this case. It remained for 1 year. One of devotees, his name is Lakshman Tulsidas, he used to sit in the veranda.
In Sai Kulwant Hall.
He was very close to Swami. Swami granted him dozens of interviews, materialized so many things for him and his family. He came to visit us in our home in US. He was at that time in Singapore. He came from Singapore to USA with his family. And night time, he had a dream. In the dream, he saw Swami with one person entering into our shrine room.
Mm-hmm.
Entering into a shrine room.
Mm.
And Swami is telling that person, pointing out to that letter.
Okay.
He could not understand, he could not hear what Swami was telling him. And then Swami disappeared.
Both.
Both this way. And in the morning, he told us, he had a strange dream like this. I called him after breakfast, show him, I said, the letter is right there.
Hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
Then he told me, Swami will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever problem you put at Swami's feet, he will take care of you. So then Swami gave me promotion and sent back to South Korea in 1998.
Okay.
Hmm. So 1998.
So, from US, you shifted to Korea.
Korea in 1990. Then from Korea, I went to Afghanistan, and from Afghanistan, I came to Puttapar.
Yes.
Now it is my home.
Yes, correct. It was really nice listening to you, sir. Thank you for sharing with us.
Okay, I'm very much delighted to be here to share my joy with all.
Okay, Sai Ram.
Okay, Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, once again, loving Sai Rams and greetings. The time right now in our studio is 12:16 p.m. A pleasant and beautiful afternoon here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the universe. Well, what you heard in this segment of Service Love in Action today was a conversation with Mr. Suresh Patnagar from the North Indian state of Punjab. In fact, parts of this conversation I had played for you last couple of weeks also, and as you would have heard, the profession of Mr. Suresh Patnagar had taken him to many countries around the world, and wherever he went, he was involved in some or the other service activities, and he spoke to us about this. In fact, a couple of weeks back, I had played for you a conversation with him in which he spoke to us about his involvement in service activities in the country of Afghanistan when he had gone there as the education director for the Allied Forces. And in another conversation, he spoke to us about his involvement in Sai movement in Korea, where he was the education officer for the Allied Forces. And today, he spoke to us about his involvement in Sai movement in US. And also, he spoke to us about how Swami used to save him in many occasions. All he used to do was Swami's work. His family also, his wife and his children, all of them used to be involved in Swami's activity, and Swami always took care of them. So dear listeners, I hope you like this conversation. Your feedback is very important and valuable to us. Please write to us right now through email to listener@radiosai.org. So in this segment, Service Love in Action, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. That is, we try to capture the various service activities and the experience during service activities by Swami's devotees and his students wherever they are. So dear listeners, now you can also join this segment by sharing with us your experience of being involved in Seva, wherever you are. You can write to us to listener@radiosai.org, or the best thing that you can do is, wherever you are, you're at your place, you can record your experience of being involved in Seva and send us the MP3. I'll be playing for you that MP3 in one of the Thursday Live conversation. Or whenever you happen to come to Puttaparthi, please step into Radio Sai and we will record the conversation, or maybe you can speak to the listeners live on one of the Thursdays in this segment, Service Love in Action. Well, the time right now is 12:20 p.m. and it's a beautiful warm afternoon here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, And in another 10 minutes from now, Brother Prem and Arvind will take the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is the segment Afternoon Satsang. So I place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and I thank him profusely for giving me this opportunity to host this segment. So at 12:30, till 12:30, please enjoy a few devotional songs, and after that, Brother Prem and Arvind will take over the next segment of today's Thursday Life. Jai Sai Ram.
Krishna Baba Avatar, Rama Krishna Baba Avatar, Rama Krishna Baba Gurudeva,
Rama Krishna Baba Gurudeva.
Hold me close to your home, never let me go.
Hold me close to your home, never let me go.
Rama Krishna Baba.
I believe.
full of love to you within and above.
I'll give.